They're both probably, one's probably worth around $20-30 million, and the other one's probably worth $5 million. Anyways, since I've moved over to here, Ameriprise, you know, I've been working on them for probably 5 years, and longer than that, I've been trying to get them to do things. They finally came in yesterday, and they want some creative account pricing. I was here till like 9:00 last night trying to, you know, come up with something. Things, you know, that's a good, probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Still, it takes, you know, just a lot of time to do those kind of things.
Right. That's an interesting observation. You know, when you think about your time and now the value that you provide based on, you know, going through that little web analysis, you know, your time is valuable. Whether you spend 2 hours on somebody that has $5-20 million or somebody that's got $500,000, your time is your time. You might as well be paid for it very well after you've done the work, right?
Right.
The good thing, yeah, how you grow yourself out as a financial professional and now the level of service that you provide, you warrant. That's why you can't have much more than 100 relationships in all of this. 85 would be even better.
You know, my goal would really to be to have 70 with an average of $3 million.
Yep. You know, so, you know, once you start moving into that territory, and everything is scheduled, you are now more in control of your time. The other interesting thing that you have to do is you have to leverage kind of what I call the internal network of support. You know, meaning if you have an insurance specialist, a banking specialist, a mortgage specialist, and have access to portfolio management and research and pulling all of those tools together when you need them, I think is certainly gonna be key.
Right.
That, you know, some of the work, you know, where you're kind of quarterbacking kind of the scenario, but you've got some other folks that are also collaborating and helping you with some of the work. We haven't, you know, really got to that point because you've been operating, you know, as a sole practitioner, and you now have to operate in this team-based environment where there's a delegation of duties and responsibilities.
We are missing a lot of that delegation. We can't delegate the insurance stuff to anybody.
You can't. You don't have anybody that is the specialist in that regard?
I mean, I've been delegating mine. I will spend. We've got, you know, a division of ours is RiverSource, so we've got RiverSource people, a rep that I can send. I've just been sending Dan policies.
Okay.
He'll send back notes.
You've been going to Dan and not the internal? Been going to the internal?
Either one. I kind of, yeah, either we've got really two there, the external and the internal.
Okay.
I've been doing that. We've got an estate planning attorney. We've actually got a group of attorneys that we can use for, you know, more advanced planning, so trying to use them. I mean, I think, yeah, we can definitely leverage that.
Right.
But
yeah.
I feel like I've been kind of moving in that direction.
Yeah. Look, you're going to be busy, you know, and, you know, until all of this really starts running like a well-oiled machine. And so the fact that you're busy is a really good sign. And the fact that, you know, you had a substantial prospect or two start to exhibit some interest. So now the question, were you able to articulate kind of your service model value proposition to that individual with some comfort?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got, matter of fact, I wrote it on my whiteboard in my office. I typically meet in my office, and so I wrote it on the whiteboard, and I'm feeling really good about it. And our kind of the slogan that,
okay.
And this may be kind of the go-to elevator pitch,
okay.
But it's an acronym, and it's SEEDS. S-E-D-Z. And I think I sent you that in our bio.
Yeah, that was on your, business plan.
But it's, anyway, so these guys are farmers. And after I went through it, you know, and it included that, it included the service model. But leading up to the service model, of course, there's, you know, all the other steps of planning and finding the gaps in people's financial world, and then coming up with a plan to bridge those gaps, and then the service model.
Right.
And
okay.
When one of the guys, the one who has most of the money, right before he walked out, he said, "Well, the seeds have been planted."
He could relate to that.
he really grabbed onto that. What kind of clients these guys would be, I don't know. I mean, they're land guys. They're creative. They like, you know, doing a lot of interesting things with their money. They're talking about forming their own REIT yesterday.
Okay.
We'll see, but they said they'll eventually end up over here at the end of the meeting. But yeah, I feel sorry about the long answer. But yes, I felt very comfortable with it, and I was sitting here looking at it on my whiteboard, and it's more than the service model, but the service model is key, and I'm really liking it. You know, I feel very comfortable with it. I see a lot of value there.
Okay. So how about Ray? Ray, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Chris?
I can't complain. So the other question, did you introduce this prospect to members of the team?
I introduced them to Corinne as we were walking by, and then
okay.
I was going to bring Russ over, and just the conversation, every time I would start to do that, they would bring up something else, and I knew their time was limited, but he met him on the elevator on the way up, but I did not get to do a
okay.
production that I would have liked to have done.
Okay. So let me explain just very briefly, optically, how that looks. I'm a client, and I see your team, and I see a graphic that not only shows your team, but has the internal and the external team members that you bring to bear on that relationship. You are the relationship manager, but you are surrounded by a team of professionals that work with you in order to help solve client problems and issues. That's powerful. Okay? So don't underestimate the power of demonstrating that in these significant client meetings, because if they're going to shop around, and they may very well, they're going to be introduced to other teams. And it's going to have an impact on them as if, wow, you know, these guys, I met with one guy, this other team introduced me to, you know, to four key players, each with a little different expertise to bear on the relationship. So I don't want you to kind of lose sight of that as you are delivering, you know, your service model. That becomes a little subtle key, but a strength. So
right.
are you with me on that in terms of optically put yourself on the other side of the fence and you're now the client being introduced to a team and how key that is?
Sure. You know, that's one thing that I sometimes ask clients. Maybe I shouldn't, but, you know, with higher net worth clients, I mean, we can fill up a boardroom with suits. Sometimes I will ask clients and I will say, look, I've got, you know, resources that, you know, this, and this, and we can all meet, and talk about our areas and answer questions. But do you really want that? And most people say, no, I really don't care about that. Nice to know you have those resources, but they don't want the dog and pony show.
Right. And so I'm not suggesting that you do a dog and pony show with all of the external resources, just your team.
Okay. You know?
Yeah. So if for any reason I'm not available, here's my partner. You know, I'm primary relationship manager, but my partner does this, and the partner says, hey, this is what my skill set is. This is how I interface with clients. This is how we work together as a team. So it's kind of like the client is looking at that and he says, oh man, I'm getting two for the price of one. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, it's time to have the banker sitting at the table, the insurance specialist sitting at the table, the lawyer sitting at the table. You know, you bring in people that are essential to the meeting.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and that's what I would, you know, kind of suggest that you do. All right. I want to also make sure in this conversation, I had a couple of other questions for you. But I want to make sure that I cover you all's agenda first. So is there anything else that's on your mind? Any success stories? Any challenges with the work we're trying to do right now?
This is Russ. From my perspective, I guess I need to read the book more, but I get confused, it seems like, as I try to execute. So
okay.
Let's talk about folders.
Okay.
So I had this idea that everybody that was a butler was going to just be like in a file in my email, and they weren't going to get a folder. They weren't going to get one, wasn't going to retain one. So can you clarify how that's supposed to work in terms of organization?
Yeah, sure. Remember, the key thing about the butler is they get a different level of service. So they get a 4-1 service, and they get scheduled just like everybody else gets scheduled. So just remember, in Supernova, everything gets scheduled. Your
right.
vacation time gets scheduled. You don't have to put, you know, I mean, you can put this down, but you can set aside, you can just call it private time. If you've got, you know, lunch with your spouse, just plug it in, private time. But everything gets scheduled. So the butlers get scheduled. They get the 4-1 service. they get four appointments and one client meeting, and that's it. They should get a folder, especially this becomes important when a butler is it's the aunt of the big client. It's the sister of the big client. It's the adult son or daughter of the big client. Give them a folder. Because okay, that
the,
will...
The brunt of the question. So in terms of the model, all they are is just a slightly cut back version of the exact same model, 421. And they get their rent folder. I have a blue folder for them, and maybe we have them in a different file cabinet or something.
That's it. There's just the level of service they get is scaled back. Three butlers equal one client.
Okay, and then on the green and the yellow folders, our COIs have a folder representing our interaction, and they like a prospect. As we take the prospect and introduce them to the 90-day free look, they get their folder then, and it's red, or is it yellow, for example?
All prospects have the same color.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so that I'm clear on that. So next question.
Okay.
So this month we loaded in the Supernova scheduling tool inputs into our Outlook calendar, and our SA Corinne has been trying to, actually do her role where she reminds everybody. And so the first iteration I think can be improved. And I hadn't talked to Rodney about this, but I think we just blasted her and she got overwhelmed.
Right.
I'm thinking on the, on our 24-month calendar for May is, the topic is pre-retirement checklist.
Okay.
So for pre-retirement checklist, if they were 80 years old or they were 30 years old, we judged that that's probably not a meaningful topic to them, and so we had kind of backup topics, and so we sort of have these three different agendas.
Right.
So when the SA goes to, take the stuff that's on the calendar and remind them, I guess he was doing a separate email to every person or phone call and asking them if the time was still okay, and it was like a unique message or email for each and every person, and if you take Rodney's 20 and my 20, it's a bunch.
Right. Okay.
So I was thinking, I'll just leave it to you. How should it go?
Okay. So I sent Rodney a link to how to do the automated reminder in Microsoft Outlook.
Oh, okay. So I might be behind the curve on this.
Well, this didn't happen until yesterday because Rodney had sent me a an email, and I got it late, and I sent a link to an email on how to use the Outlook reminder system. Now, I will tell you what I do. I have become this incredible fan of YouTube. And I don't know if you are a big fan or not. Do you guys use it?
YouTube?
Yeah.
I use it all the time because there's a lot of, there's some entertainment stuff, which I do get addicted to sometimes, but there's so much good practical how-to's.
Oh, let me tell you something. There was a comedian, and this comedian was literally had me in stitches saying, God, I can learn everything I need to learn on YouTube. I can even get my nursing degree on YouTube. And I'm just like hysterically laughing at this because that web application, how often am I getting real deep with Excel? Not very often. So I went on YouTube went through a series of videos on Excel and built that web application. Okay? And it didn't take me long to do it. And then I sent it out and had somebody turn it into the web app. So what I'm saying is that there's a couple of things to do. One is there's a YouTube video on the subject, but I didn't know the if he had 2013 or 2016. But there's a whole YouTube video on how to do it. So I would let Corinne look at it. And these videos were only like 3 minutes in length, but they were really easy to follow. So I'm going to, today after the call, I'm going to go look and see if there's a, in addition to the page by page link I sent you, I'm going to see if there's a video on it so Corinne can manage those emails and get them on automation. And you can do that so that the time for a specific, client or prospect occurs on an automatic basis. So that cuts down on our work because they'll be automatically, generated. And if somebody, has to alter or cancel, well, they're going to call in, but they're going to be automatically generated.
Okay. In concept, I definitely got the idea. We do not want to give them the option, hey, is this still a good time?
Absolutely. You don't want to do that.
Processes. Okay. So we basically just say, hey, reminder, we're talking here or we're meeting here, and there's nothing more to it.
That's right.
I'll watch that.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. If they can't do it, really, we take them to the next month.
That's right. Exactly. So you've got that down. So have it automated, have it generated, and once it's done once, it's a recurring meeting and recurring reminder. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'll look at the reminder system and see how that works. I guess I thought the point was we were trying to keep it in the scheduling tool and not on the Outlook calendar for like a year at a time. It was really just supposed to load every month.
It is. But the reminder for the client now, that's where, you need to be looking at your what you're doing is you're doing a separate reminder, and if she was sending out a separate email for that, that gets cumbersome. But the clients, once they get scheduled, it's the same time, every month. And so Outlook will generate a reminder on an automated basis. So that's the one thing that if you wanted to do that, you could do it.
Okay, well, we'll work further. I haven't seen that. For me, I'll just make sure I can make it work.
Okay. All right. Any other questions that may have come up? And I think you also heard from Lori, too. She sent you an email as well on that subject in terms of how she does it. So she said the same thing that I was suggesting. Okay. What else?
Appreciate that creative idea. That was very practical. Just that, we just took on a new client. They were, they were under our minimum. It's going to be $200,000 moving in immediately, but she's a longtime employee of a medical practice that I've worked with for years, and all we have with any of them right now is the simple, and the doctors are kind of newer. The owner of the practice is not sure what potential there is, but that was the key reason of taking them. They are doing a plan, which will be pretty simple. They are moving assets, so it's not. I mean, it'll be low maintenance, low service. There'll be a butler. But anyway, I just kind of saw them as kind of a strategic client.
Well, that's a strategic play because you want to take care of them because you want the doctors and you want the pension plan of that medical practice, which could grow, you know, by contribution, maybe 15 or 20% a year.
Right.
And in addition, they have the potential to be a center of influence in terms of clients and or CPAs and other specialist doctors that they refer. So now you got to think, is that a niche market that you want to cultivate and develop based on that one relationship?
Right.
So that's when you say, okay, I'll take that one because, you know, they know orthopedic specialists. They have, and the specialists obviously make more money. They got plastic surgeons. They got, you know, all of these potential folks, if it's a general practice that they can, you know, refer you to, unless it's a specialty practice. And so now what you have to do, and I'm not necessarily suggesting that you get another file, but I'm suggesting that you now create what I call a file that gets you updated on the needs of physicians. What trade journals are they looking at? Where, you know, potential article comes out, you send it. There's folks that are doing guest writings in some of these journals on how these folks ought to be managing money. And, so now you want to become, you know, a bit of a, expert in this, arena. If that's going to be one of your niche markets.
We've got to get to the next step on that. I met a doctor as part of the medical networking group that he's got crazy great appetite for growth, and I think he's already got 100 physicians he's coordinating a deliverable with in terms of a service, like pain management.
Right.
And then I went to a, I don't know what you call it, a mixer for healthcare yesterday evening. And
sure.
I met one guy that his business is the most crazy, neat business I've ever heard of, and I was thinking every medical company almost in the world ought to be hiring him. And I met another guy that lives in L.A. who's here in Dallas now, and they're providing all the back office for a bunch of practices in like 5 states.
Okay.
So these are maybe they're not even physicians as much as entrepreneurs, and, I mean, they have massive wealth-building potential. But, you know, kind of where I'm at, I don't know how to develop those guys. I don't know what to do next.
Well, you know, I tell you, I'm coaching another FA, and it's a two-person team, just like you, with one FA. And because of these medical practices, they have 25 pension plans. So he really has become a pension expert to physicians.
Okay.
So when you look at these physicians and the permutations of what you can do, you know they're going to need, generally speaking, they have a love of family, so they want to take care of their family. So they got estate planning needs. You got all of the personal stuff they need to do. Then there's all the business kinds of things they need to do, you know, to operate. And then you need to find out, you know, who they're working with, Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse the attorney that you're working with? And also, I'm trying to remember if you and I were having the conversation on the employment HR issues associated with small businesses and entrepreneurs.
Yes, we were.
So, you know, you've got that person, you know, in your back pocket as a center of influence. Now, center of influence's obligation is you need to call them, they're going to take the call. If you want to put them in front of a client and deliver business back and forth, that's the relationship that you want to have. And that's how you get that explosive growth, because now you're starting to think, oh, wow, that is a specialized niche market. What are the needs of physicians? And how do I continue to educate myself and get myself up to speed? And so, you know, what I would typically do, for example, you know, I write a book on, wrote a book on teaming, and, you know, I start collecting research information for like a year prior to even thinking I was going to write this book. And I started putting this stuff in a file on my computer. And that's what you do, is periodically you read another article on physicians and the issues that they're facing, so that you become very familiar with that business. Because I'm willing to bet that on the investment side of things, that's probably the easy part for you guys. That's the stuff you do every day. You know it. You know what an ETF is. You know what fee-based money management is all about. You know what financial planning is all about. And so now, educate yourself on these niche markets that you're going after. And so far, I'm hearing, you know, you were struggling with this in the very beginning, but all of a sudden now, it's these physicians are coming to light. And they're business people too. So the corollary is between, if you looked at business owners, that's broad base. Now you're saying, okay, our niche within that realm of business owners and physicians. There you go. Great niche market. Hard to break into that. And if you've got leverage with centers of influence that are helping you, CPAs that are helping you, you can really build something with that niche.
Okay, thank you, Curtis.
Okay. Anything else before we hit kind of a little review of some of the things that we wanted to talk about? Let's see. We've got about 20 minutes here. We've gone through a review of 1 through 3. So let's just do a basic review. So, you know, in week 4, you know, it was all about catching up with making sure that you had this competency with the service model. You know, 12-4-2 financial plan implementation, you know. And I think you're starting to really settle in on that. And then it was about the gap analysis and taking care of your personal self, making sure you've got the energy to perform, the sleep, the exercise, the diet, your ideal recovery state. And so in order to peak perform, you got to make sure you're taking care of you. And so that was one of the aspects of that section. So then it's like getting yourself into routines. We call them rituals. You know, planning your ideal day. Using your scheduling tool, okay? You're getting up to speed on that. So it's a change. You're going after larger sums of money, and it seems as if with that last appointment, Rodney, that, you know, you feel like you got a little bit of an organization behind you, you got a process, so now you feel like, hey, look, bring it on. More money and referrals. So, make sure that you stick to a schedule with these folks. It's important not to move them around very much. You can have some flexibility, but, you know, look at the clients that you're going after. That's where you want to be spending, you know, a significant amount of time. So we're scheduling because we want to eliminate interruption. It'll allow you to be more productive. You're going to focus on what's important, not what's urgent all the time. You know, I know that there are FAs that everything is crisis mode. Client comes in unexpectedly, crisis mode. Client calls in, I need this, crisis mode. We want to move away from crisis mode to more controlling what we do, controlling the relationship. Okay. Folders for each one, which we talked about. We talked about you becoming a specialist in your niche, and you guys brought it up today. So you've got this natural niche. It's kind of where you came from. And then it may be executives at another company. It's these physicians. But what the group that you feel comfortable with. So you want to interview your clients. Okay, so it's one thing to go in with your full-blown presentations and talk about what it is that they need and you can deliver, but interview them. Find out about them. How did you get into the business? You know, we work with, physicians. We know what's on your mind, but interview them. What's on your mind as a physician? You're extremely busy. You got appointments locked up, you know, from when you get in to when you leave. So get as much information and then couple that with what you read in their trade journals. Find out the trade journals that they read and that they look at. Okay, so if you were to ask me that question, just kind of flipping it, I say, well, look, I'm looking at Wealth Management Advisor. I'm looking at FA Magazine. I'm looking at Investment News Daily. I'm looking at Advisor Hub. I'm looking at Advisor Perspectives. You know, I'm looking at Financial Planning Online. You know, those are the trade journals of our business that allows me to kind of keep up with what's going on. Okay? So, you don't have to be looking at everything they look at, but you need to identify a few of the things that they're looking at so that if anything is mentioned, you say, yeah, I read that and such and such and such. It really sets you apart, differentiates you in your market. Okay. All right. So if they've got organizations that they belong to that you could be a part of, you know, think about that. Because, you know, physicians oftentimes, they get tired of just talking to physicians, so some of them will get into organizations that give them that, you know, just a different kind of outlook and a different view. All right. The failure points for segmentation. Interrupt me if you need to, guys, because, you know, I'm flying through this review a little quick here. Failure points for segmentation. All right. You know, you're hiding clients that will never be able to deserve your service model, but they eat your time. Failure to reduce. You know, keep this thing under 100. So every time you start to get the creep, then you know, okay, we're raising our targets. We've got to decide who we have to segment out, who we can't spend the time with. for execution of the minimum and the max. The minimum level that you're going after, what's your minimum, and what's your max? Maximum number of relationships, minimum number of assets. Failure to introduce the service model enthusiastically. Let me share one thing with you on this. I created a rough draft. This is very rough. But it is a discussion of the rationale for the service model. It's about 3.5 minutes in length. And the way I set it up is with a link. So I could, if I was an FA, I could send the link to a prospect. I could send it to a LinkedIn prospect, you know, that I'm interested in having as a client. Or I just received a business card after being in a museum gala, and I meet somebody and I'm introducing my service model. So I put it in PowerPoint, and the words are done like an advertorial, and they just kind of appear as talking points. So you could put your photo on it, your talking points, and you'd have to get, you know, client approval for your PowerPoint. I want to make sure that I share that with you this week. But when I do, I want you to excuse the audio, because the audio is really rough. All right.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and then now, boom, you're like on autopilot. That's what I'm designing this thing for. Okay. Next failure point. Failure to provide the mini-me folders, which are differentiating you. So here we are with this high-tech, high touch. This is your high touch item, is that folder. Okay? High tech is all the other technology that you're using, but the high touch thing is they got that folder. Pull it out. They want the two hole punch. It's your differentiating factor. Number 6, failure to set up and let them know about the agenda. The calendar of issues, okay? Because we don't want them to perceive that every time there's a call that we're trying to sell them something. So these calls are to bring them up to speed and educate them about the market, educate them about the economy, educate them about the services that you provide, long-term care, so on and so forth. And so you're going to batch process this stuff out so that you're not all over the map. So a year from now, somebody says, I need to get my mortgage refinanced. Oh, yeah, I remember that topic with my advisor, and they handle all that, okay? Or long-term care, they handle all of that. Education for children, they handle that, okay? And number 7, failure to send out the executive summary. So most of that should be kind of in template form. This is what we discussed. This is what we agreed to. And these are the next steps. Boom. Send it out. So it's basically a confirmation about the goals and the objectives. And when you do this, compliance issues with clients go away. So that was the review of 4. Now let's do a review of the 5th module. First of all, any questions on 4? How did that kind of click going through it kind of the second time?
Pretty straightforward. I don't have any questions.
Okay. So when we get into week 5. It gets into kind of the part 2, which is organization and planning. So, so when we get into that, it was really, it was about the folder system and, you know, all the way at the end of the, I think it was like chapter 14, had what you initially put in the folder. And it never hurts if there's something specific that you've come up with and you want the client to put it in the folder, just tell them, yeah, put this in your folder. Or if they come in for a review, add these two items to your folder. Okay. So it should have contact information, information about your team. You know, are you guys calling yourselves anything in particular? Is the Rodney Coe team? I mean, is that how it's going to operate?
We haven't decided yet.
Not decided.
Okay. Okay. So here's what I suggest that you do. Have you all, you know, got a copy of my new book?
I just got mine in the mail yesterday, I think, or the day before.
Okay, good. So it's all about teams. There's a chapter in there about team agreement. So, and it's got bullets in there. And so I would suggest, you know, we'll cover some of this in these sessions. Once we complete, you know, get you through all these modules, we'll go into more of the team dynamic module. But if you're going to be on an airplane, you can read the book in about a weekend. And I would have a notebook right by your side when you're reading that book, because there's so much in there on team collaboration, team meetings, how to run your huddle-up sessions, everything. So think about that. So that's all about organization and planning. So the contents of the client folder, I don't think we need to kind of go through that again, but you're going to have your team brochure, team information, you're going to have a notes section, you're going to have your meeting agenda, you're going to have, you know, investment ideas, you know, you're going to keep that updated. And there's going to be a referral sheet in there. And you're going to be keeping your golden Rolodex. So, you know, you're going to help build your ideal day, scheduling your agenda. The pyramid is inverted. The CA is chief of operations, controlling the calendar. The FA is at the bottom. Okay, so they got to get used to scheduling time, all the meetings with one person. Okay, so you're going to be focusing your energy on what matters most. The CAs, you're having little huddle-up sessions, 5 to 10 minutes every morning. She knows what your day is like. Okay? Schedule all appointments. Eliminate phone tag. Okay. Building your pipeline. We certainly will talk more about that as we get into client acquisition. So 90 was the maximum number of prospects. And they're going to come from, when we got into client acquisition, they're coming from your COIs, they're coming from client referrals, they're coming from, you know, your use of that VISPA model, they're coming from your mastermind group, okay? So we kind of jumped ahead to fast forward to where all this relates. So you're building your prospect folders, and you're placing them into the schedule so that they don't get lost or fall through the cracks. So every prospect gets scheduled. Okay. centers of influence. These are people who like you. They trust you. They send you unsolicited referrals. And they're professionals because of their position. Maybe it's a person that serves on the chamber board. So you've got to make the distinction with, you know, they can be clients, but they don't have to be. Okay. You build a folder for them. You have an agenda for them. Okay. The enthusiastically endorsed model. Okay. On your end, you want your clients to say, he's fabulous. He thinks of everything. His contact, connection, how he differentiates himself. Unbelievable. We have a great experience working with this team. Now, for you, you want to have CPAs that you can enthusiastically endorse. So your team has to go to their office, meet their team, and talk about how you work and educate them on the Supernova model. Okay? Well, actually, let me reverse that. When they come to see you, you introduce them to your team, how you work. Then you want to have a companion meeting where you then go to their office and learn how they work. Okay? Because you want to be able to enthusiastically endorse them. And so you might ask them questions like, I was talking to, I'll give you a great example. This is a good one. A friend of mine was CFO at AAA. And he's a consultant for small business. He does the agribusiness up in Napa, wine owners and that sort of thing. And there are a lot of them. And a financial advisory group with about 50 advisors wanted to meet with them, talk about cross-referral, business sharing, that sort of thing. And I talked to him and I said, well, you know, you spend a lot of your time going directly, trying to go directly for the client, but have you thought about all of the financial advisors that have clients in that market? I said, I could get you an appointment with one manager that has 180 advisors that might be able to work with you. And so, vice versa, when you're thinking about the CPA and expanding them into networks that you have, because you can enthusiastically endorse them, you want that reciprocity. So you got to talk to them about that. Okay.
Hey, can you ask him whether going to their place first or our place first, whether that matters in terms of perception?
No, it doesn't matter. You know, just that, you know, you want to make sure that they understand how you work and get introduced to your staff. And you want the same thing to happen. So when you call in, and it's like, Mary, I need to speak with Chuck. You know, Mary is going to put you through. Okay, it's not going to be this bouncing back and forth. Okay? Because you've got something urgent. You've got a client that you are ready to hand off through personal introduction. Remember, everybody gets personally introduced. It's not like, hey, here's a business card, go call Joe. So you've got to educate them on the whole introduction process in Supernova. Okay? All right. Because remember, you've gone through the school. They haven't. So you got to bring them up to speed so that they can be good sources for you. You got to do it with your estate planning attorney. You got to do it with your employment attorney. You got to do it with your centers of influence. You got to educate everyone on how this works and your targets and your minimums and the type of clients you're looking for. You know, that's why when you are going out just blindly saying, hey, got any referrals today, nobody can think of any because they haven't been trained. Okay? So this is really, really important because it could be the difference between you adding, you know, another 20 relationships, significant relationships a year or not. Okay. Enthusiastically endorsed model. Okay. Let's see here. And so the other thing that you want to be able to do is as you go through and you talk to these physicians and clients, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse your lawyer? Maybe he's a business formation lawyer. Maybe he's a general practitioner. I would like to meet him. Can you make a personal introduction? That physician is paying the bill, and that lawyer knows it, and that lawyer knows that you are one of the key people in the relationship, and so you want to get the personal introduction. Now, fast forward, that's when you use that BISPA model, you know, to bring home a referral source. Okay. All right. Now, so your meetings, you hand them the folder. You solidify the relationship. You educate joint meetings. And if that lawyer that you just got introduced is a prospect, he gets the folder. Okay. Now, I would say, look, we're as a team, we're managing $100 million. We're expecting, you know, that to accelerate, from 150 to 200,000 by the end of the year. And we choose the folks that we have relationships with very, very carefully. Well, changes the dynamic. Okay. All right. So at this point, almost all your clients should be segmented. Okay, so that takes us through week 5, and I think we'll cover number 6 on our next call. I'd like to stop and ask if there was anything in particular that you have any questions on anything that you valued for today?
Don't think I have any questions. As always, there's a lot of value and actionable things to do. So I think, you know, going back and hitting on these real life situations we're running into, and also reviewing is just really helpful because we obviously still need to implement a lot of this. And you gave me an assignment to have everyone who will be a client or butler, our key client or butler, to have them notified of the service model by May, and I released it in April, but Corinne has got some help, and they are creating folders for the rest of the people and okay. Sending out the letter, and so they should be aware of it really close to that goal date. So that's
okay. Great.
Making great.
Okay. How about you, Russ?
No, I can't bring myself to do it by letter.
Okay.
So I'm behind, but I'm just more family by family doing it.
Okay.
So Corinne's doing a real job of touching me. She's like, we've got these 7 folders, and we still have them, and you've got to get a hold of them and set the meeting.
Okay. Good. All right. So, again, what we're doing is we're differentiating ourselves in the market that we're serving. And that's what we're trying to do. Okay. I've got a note that I'm going to send that rough PowerPoint and, let you kind of take a look at it. And then, you could send me an email. We can talk about it even before our next meeting if you want, or we wait till the next meeting. And that'll just give you some idea of this idea. So it's kind of an experiment at this point, but what's happened is I've been getting these advertorials, that are similar. And I said, you know, maybe we need to think about crafting one, an advisor in our program can use. So that's what it's kind of come down to. So it's still a work in progress.
You mentioned so client authorization. That's why I got confused on your description. What were you talking about on a client authorization to use it?
Well, no, I meant compliance authorization.
Okay. Compliance. Got it.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Okay. So, at any rate, that's the idea. You guys I think you're making some really good progress. The level of conversation has been great. And, if anything should come up, as always, feel free to, email me. And, we'll hit week number 6, next time, 6 and 7, maybe 8. We'll see how far we go.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, keep plugging. Take care. Bye-bye.